Let's take a trip down memory lane with Niagara County's Great History Show. Now, here's your host, Norm Palmer.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the show this morning. In the guest studio with me, the Executive Director of the Niagara County History Center, Melissa Dunlap, and her assistant, Anne-Marie Linneberry. Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
Good
morning.
And it is a beautiful sunshine day outside, so maybe we can get some folks to come down to the History Center.
You never know.
So, do we have anything new happening yet?
Yes, we do.
Has the clamp on everything been lowered a little bit?
Not yet, but we do have a brand new exhibit on the first floor of the 215 Niagara Street site, and that's open of 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday. So it is Belva Lockwood, but Terry Abrams, our curator, has spent a long time gathering everything together, and our changing exhibit room has the entire exhibit. There's also another part of it in the main meeting room where we have most of our speakers and the art exhibits. So there's a lot to see, and it's well worth coming to come in and see the exhibit because, of course, Belva ran for president in 1884 and again in 1888, but she was the first woman to argue a case in front of the United States Supreme Court, and she was born here in Royalton in 1830. So a very, very interesting person, and I think you would be learning a lot if you came to see this exhibit.
Boy, I tell you, her campaign had to be powerful back in those days when women weren't supposed to be doing that.
Right, and she actually was the first woman. There was Victoria Woodhull who ran for president, but she didn't get any votes. But Belva actually was on the equal party line, and she actually got votes. So obviously Ben voted for her. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty amazing. And she did a lot of other amazing things, too. She's a very, very interesting person.
As we go along today, folks, you can join us, 433-1433, if you have any questions or any comments for the ladies in the studio today. Okay, Melissa?
Okay, we also have a new YouTube channel. It's called the History Center Lockport. That's how you would subscribe. When you get there, you have to click to subscribe. And then we have a lot of programs on that YouTube channel. We have speakers, and then we have some collection items that are on there. So if you have a chance, tune into that and see what you can learn, because there's a lot to learn there. This, again, is our centennial year. The Historical Society started in 1921, and it's now 2021. It's really curtailed a lot of the activities that we thought we would be having this year. But Anne-Marie is writing great articles for the newsletter and also for the local paper. And we, hopefully, towards the end of the year, will be able to
do something.
Yeah. we're thinking
yeah, we're
of what we can do. Yes. So, you know, we're proud to be here for 100 years and hope that the next 100 is just as good. So
and I would like to thank Anne-Marie personally on the air for the article last week about the Hamilton House. A lot of us as children and as teenagers had a great time there. So great article,
well,
Anne-Marie.
You inspired me, Norm, so thank you.
Maybe one day we'll have to put our rollers back on and go find a rink. Okay, ladies, you have some excellent topics today.
Okay, well, Anne-Marie's going to start. We want to do some research on swimming holes and mill ponds. So Anne-Marie's going to start about that. And then we're hoping to get calls that people are going to call and talk about this subject, because we need to know where people did that. And then after that, we'll talk about women's clothing stores.
Okay, well, you know, there's been a lot of talk about North Park School being renamed in honor of Aaron Mozell, because his brickyard was on the site of where North Park School is today. And even long after the brickyard left, the brick pond was still left. And over the years, it was used as a swimming hole. It was used as a dump, unfortunately. It was used to harvest ice. I found some articles in the paper about someone who, this was early on, not long after the brickyard closed in 1916, that someone actually wanted to lease the pond so that they could do ice harvesting. So this was probably before it started to be used as a dump. So
yeah.
The other possibility that was considered for the pond was for it to become part of Outwater Park. There was a lot of talk in the late 1920s, early 30s, of extending Outwater Park to include the brick pond. This was before North Park was built. North Park was built and opened about 1940. So that area was still pretty much vacant land at that point, except for the pond. And it was during those years that people started, probably mostly kids, started using it as a swimming hole. And then by the 1960s, there were a number of articles in the paper about the dumping there and how people were complaining that people were using the brick pond as a dump. And so pretty much after North Park was built in 1940, and when I was kind of surprised about that, that the brick pond was still there and it was being used as a dump. So I don't know when that was finally filled in. So if anybody has an idea of when that might have been filled in, but there was an article as late as 1961 complaining about people dumping in the pond. So if you remember ever swimming in the pond, or if you remember when the brick pond was filled in, or anything like that, we'd be happy to know about that. I also remember, and again, I couldn't lay my hands on it today, but I remember seeing an article about I don't know if it was a swimming pool or a pond on Trowbridge, not where the brick pond was. It was up near Niagara behind what is now the ski lodge. And sometimes, when you're doing research and you're looking for one thing and then you find something else that kind of, triggers your interest. And as I said, I couldn't find it this morning, but if anybody remembers I think it was a swimming pool or a swimming hole or something behind the ski lodge on Trowbridge near Niagara Street.
Give us a call, 433-1433. North Enders, come on. I know there's a bunch of my friends that lived in the North End, and their parents grew up there and lived there. So give us a call to see if you can remember the swimming hole behind where the ski lodge is.
Okay, I just wanted to insert something that the drive to get the North Park name for Aaron Moselle has to do with him getting the schools integrated in Lockport in 1876. So that's really, it's not, he was an entrepreneur and he did have a brickyard, but that isn't really the reason.
It just happens to be that North Park is on the site of his brickyard.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Plus, it's the only school that isn't named for a person.
Right.
And this is, somebody did something that significant.
Right. And this has been ongoing for
oh
many years now.
Oh my gosh, way back. So, the first real push was in 2014. And we've been pushing Lift Up Lockport Meets, and we're pushing for it again. There's been articles in the newspaper recently, so we're still working on that.
And Mr. Moselle was known for his brickworks, but when I did my research on him, he was a heck of a father for the simple reason every one of his kids received a doctorate degree from college. So you talk about a man that is qualified to have a school named after him. Aaron Moselle is that man. And I said, how many of us can say he had more than one or two kids, too? Every one of your children has a doctorate's degree.
Except the daughters, the men did.
Yes, the sons.
Okay, so here we go. We're still waiting for the phone calls to see if anybody remembers the swimming hole behind where the ski lodge is. Not far from our station.
Somebody recently also on Facebook, one of the Lockport Facebook pages, also posted, I can't remember where it was, but there was another swimming hole. I think it was somewhere along 18 Mile Creek. And there was actually a mill pond at 18 Mile Creek. And that there was a lot of industry that was built up around the mill pond down on 18 Mile Creek. So I'm sure that there were some swimming holes and ponds down in that area as well, that especially after some of this industry left, that were used, for swimming and that sort of thing. So if anybody remembers any of the swimming holes or ponds or in this area, we'd like to hear about it.
Yeah. Somebody was telling me there was one on Mill Street. But
well, that would make sense if it was, yeah, on Mill Street. There was probably a mill pond. But, you know, some of the industries down in that area that would have been around where 18 Mile Creek and the mill pond would have been Kohl's Chemical Company, Norton Labs, Indurated Fiber. They were all down in that general area. So, but once a lot of them left, you know, the area probably turned into a place where kids could go swimming.
Right. So, and I don't think they were worried years ago about the quality of
the water. Yeah. I mean, they were swimming in the Love Canal.
I think that was kind of a later thing.
Yeah.
Worried about the pollution.
Yeah, people didn't probably really care. You know, they didn't think about it is what it was. So. Yeah.
So.
Okay. The other place, now Melissa may know more about this, but I'll just talk a little bit about it. Mirror Lake out on Route 31 in the Gasport area. I just wrote an article for the paper about the Schaefer Cold Storage, which was out on Telegraph Road and Bolton Road, which was owned by the Schaefer family. But the Schaefer grandson, Arthur, actually is the one that operated Mirror Lake. And the earliest I could find for this was 1942. So it must have opened up in maybe the late 30s, early 40s. And we're not exactly sure when it ended, I should say. So again, we're looking for more information about anybody that remembers going to Mirror Lake. It was quite extensive. The articles say that it could accommodate 1,200 people at a time. It had picnic tables, fireplaces, tennis courts, horseshoe pits, a croquet area, volleyball, badminton, and softball. And it also had a pavilion that could hold 200 people. You could rent paddle boats and rowboats as well. And there were lifeguards on duty. So it was a very large, you know, operation and apparently very popular as well. So if anybody remembers that, I'm sorry, go. You clicked. You say something, Melissa.
I have had two men that have told me about it, and they said what they did was when you get there, they had colored rubber bands that they put on your wrist, and then for that hour, you could swim for an hour with that color, and then you had to get out in the next color again.
Got in.
So they did limit the amount of time that you could be in there also. Well, I guess you could pay for another hour.
Yeah, if you wanted to, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it said the admission was 50 cents.
Okay.
So I don't know if that was for everything or just, you know, may have been, you know, like an amusement park at that time, and, you know, you paid it and you could do whatever you wanted once you got in. The park usually opened on what was, of course, in those days called Decoration Day, and we call it Memorial Day, because I found some ads in the newspaper, and it always said that that's the day it opened, so that's usually the traditional beginning of summer. So so if anybody remembers anything like, you know, going there or anywhere else.
I recall the name Mirror Lake. Not being a swimmer, of course, I didn't go, but I remember a lot of my friends used to go to Mirror Lake. It was a big affair at the time.
Boy, I wish they'd call in.
Yes, 433-1433.
The article I copied about Mirror Lake, I just saw a little piece in here, and this is another place that people do talk about, the Sandhurst Club, which was located off of Church Street in Cambria. And we have had other people who have mentioned about going to Sandhurst. It is now, I believe, Lazy Lakes campground. So any place in the county, it doesn't have to be just Lockport.
Right.
But any place in the county that you may have gone to go swimming or, you know, whether it was a public beach or whether just a place that you knew of, you and your friends, be kind of interesting to know about that.
Well, we have a call coming in, Anne-Marie, and
okay,
maybe
good.
They are going to answer your question about Mirror Lake. Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know anything about Mirror Lake, but it sounds an awful lot like Bedford Beach.
I was just going to mention that, Mike. That's also in this article, but go on. Yes.
Well, I remember that, and that was a place that you paid to go in, and it was a beautiful beach, and, you know, it was a family-type thing, and they had, like, concession stands, and families used to go there.
And where was that?
Everybody else that I knew went to the sand pits to swim.
Wheeler Road, right? In Wright's Corners?
Bedford
no,
Beach?
No, the sand pits is on Sand Pits Road.
No, no, I meant Bedford Beach.
Oh, Bedford Beach? I don't remember.
Well, according to this article, it was Wheeler Road.
It was close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say maybe Wright's Corners type thing.
Yeah. How big was the one at Sand Pit?
Sand Pits had, well, there's still a big, beautiful pond there if you go down to the winery. But,
oh, okay.
You know, that was all excavated sand, and there was a beautiful big pond there, and that's where everybody went. You could actually get a car down there, a walk, and it was just the place to go back in the 60s and 70s.
I think Donna used to talk about that. Donna Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's close there, huh?
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize that. Okay. So, well, thank you.
Well, sure.
Yeah, the article here from 1960 also talks about Bedford Beach. And in that year, it said that they installed a new water slide. So, yeah.
Okay.
So that must have been a great attraction at that time. But it said that they also had slides and swings and a merry-go-round. So this was at Bedford Beach, which was on Wheeler Road in Wright's Corners.
Okay,
and I love the story about Bedford Beach. Now, I can't verify it being true because, you know, sometimes when you tell stories, they get stretched a little bit. But Mr. Bedford was a construction person, and he had a lot of digging equipment and that type of equipment on his land. So he was also taking dirt and stuff and for yard work and whatever. And Mr. Bedford had a big pond where, not pond, but a big hole where he would excavate this dirt. So he goes to bed one night, and he gets up the next morning, go out to get on his high lift, and guess what? He doesn't see the high lift. He sees a bunch of water. Supposedly, his last dig had hit a well, and that filled up, and it turned into Bedford Beach later on down the road.
Ah.
But that was supposedly the way Mr. Bedford got his beach.
Well, it kind of reminds you of Shirkston, where they always talked about the railroad tracks and the train and everything that was in the bottom. And every time we went to Shirkston, my brother was 10 years older, and he would take me, and we'd swim in the quarry there. He'd spend the whole time telling me that if I ever told my mother that we were Shirkston swimming in the quarry, he'd never take me anywhere again.
Well, on that note, we'll take our first break. We'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to Niagara County's Great History Show on 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.
It's Maggie's Kitchen for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Try Maggie's famous cowboy breakfast, Papa's pancakes, French toast, omelets, and more. Everything at Maggie's is farm to table and made fresh daily. Maggie's early bird breakfast specials are available 6:30 to 10 a.m. Here are some new menu items: Polish Sisters homemade pierogies with farmer's cheese or sauerkraut. They also sell them frozen for you to take home. Or Polish krasiki, plus flatbread pizza with red or white sauce and your choice of dressings. And don't forget the jumbo chicken wings at Maggie's. Try them with Billy's special sauce, Memphis Barbecue. He sure is batting 1,000. Everybody loves them. And don't miss their amazing daily seafood specials served during Lent. They're open Wednesday and Thursday, Saturday and Sunday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 6:30 to 7 p.m. Closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. Maggie's Kitchen and Billy's Beef, 7619 Ridge Road in Gasport. Maggie's Kitchen and Billy's Beef, catering events for over 15 years.
The Dave Ramsey Show, where common sense meets dollars and cents.
Patrick in Texas says, my wife thinks we should have an emergency credit card. How can I explain to her that this is a terrible idea? Well, the last time on earth that you need to go into debt at 18% interest would be at a time when your family has an emergency. What you need is money. If you had $20,000 set aside for an emergency fund, you wouldn't need an emergency credit card, right?
The Dave Ramsey Show, now heard weeknights 8 to 11 on WLVL.
Welcome back to Niagara County's Great History Show. In the studio with me, the Executive Director of the Niagara County History Center, Melissa Dunlap, and her assistant, Anne-Marie Linnemary. Okay, we started out with some swimming holes, and we got one call on it. Let's see if we can get some more. 433-1433. Okay, ladies.
Well, Melissa had mentioned someone had told her about a place called Star Pond, but we can't remember where it was or anything. So if anybody heard of Star Pond and you know anything about it,
call in.
Yeah.
that's one I haven't heard of. So.
Yeah. Sometimes I think, too, that the kids had a particular name for something that, you know,
yeah,
that maybe not have, might not have translated into into history. I don't know.
When I was growing up in South Buffalo, we had a field at the end of the street that we called the Baja. Why? I don't know. But it's those local names that, you know.
Yeah.
So, but and only people who lived in that neighborhood would know what you were talking about. So.
Well, I know that this is not a pond, but growing up at Dudley Square, up the top of the hill, up on top of Vine Street area, a lot of the guys that swam used to swim in the canal.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like two blocks from where we lived. And, of course, we had a daredevil that was in our gang, and we would challenge him all the time because we knew he would take any challenge. So we'd take a walk down to the upside-down bridge, they used to call it, the train trestle, and he used to jump off the top of the train trestle into the canal with a deer, of
brave.
Course. you had to give him like a pop or something like that, but he'd do it just for show.
Okay, well, I just got a text from somebody we know, Mike Allport, and he said the Star Hole was on the north side of the canal off of Clinton Street.
Okay.
So somebody does know about that. That's, you know, so there you go. So if you swam in the Star Hole on the north side of the canal off Clinton Street, give us a call.
433-1433 is that phone number. You can join us on Niagara County's Great History Show.
Okay. Well, it's just, these are the type of things of history that are going to be lost if we can't find out about it, you know, because people are getting older and that, and there's a lot of things like this that you're really trying to document because it's, if people don't talk about it, nobody's going to know, you know, it's just going to be lost history. So, because that's one of the things before family video went out of business, I asked our photographer, Norm Pearson, to go in and take photographs inside and outside because I was thinking that's probably going to be the end of video stores because now everybody gets movies online.
It's
or
streaming.
Or digital, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, even DVDs, there's hardly any DVDs in the stores anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so eventually
that'll be obsolete.
That's
too.
Right.
Yeah,
it's gonna be, and there's so many things like that that we're not thinking now that, and the worst is that people don't correspond to each other anymore with letters or things. They text each other and then they delete the text. So basically, every day we're erasing our own history.
Yeah.
And it's, good point.
So much of what Melissa and I do depends on what was written,
yes,
you know, by hand 100 or 150 years ago.
Yeah.
Journals and
diaries
and letters and, you know,
And it's the same, you know, when people go to war, there's just going to be records now of the top officers because the regular everyday people are either video chatting or texting and none of that is saved. So it's going to skew history for sure.
Give us a call. Swimming holes in Lockport, Niagara County that you used to swim in or your parents used to and drag you down as a little nipper maybe. 433-1433.
Okay, so we'll start a little bit on women's stores. Of course, it's Women's History Month.
Oh, my. That should light up the phones.
Yeah.
All of you ladies that used to go shopping down Main Street in Lockport.
So I brought, in Lockport, I brought 1970, 75, and 80, which are huge books. And I brought 1975 from Niagara Falls because there were a huge amount of stores there. But now, because I, again, was living in Kenmore until 78. And then when I moved here, I had a 3-year-old and an 18-month-old. So I wasn't doing a whole lot of that kind of shopping.
Okay, Melissa, before you start, we have a phone call coming in.
Oh,
let's
great.
Take that phone call. Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. You are on.
Good morning. I grew up on Michigan Street. When we were kids, they called it Pond at North Park School. They called it Sons of Italy.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
So, what they called it, I don't know if that's all I remember.
Was that would that have been the brick pond, or was that the pond behind the ski lodge?
It was the one behind the ski lodge.
Okay.
Okay.
Sons of Italy. Okay.
Oh, that's neat. So how old were you when you were swimming in that?
Probably 12, 13.
Okay. Yeah.
Time ago.
Oh, thanks. We really appreciate you calling.
Thank you very much for your call.
You.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
433-1433 if you'd like to join us. So now we know the name of the pond behind where the ski lodge results now.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, there were ponds around.
No. Yes, there were.
You just didn't know it. Okay. So talking about women's clothing, of course, Burger was the first one that came up because it starts with B. And I remember Burgers. In fact, I had a problem with Burgers because I worked in the Sheridan Plaza. And I was a night manager in the Sheridan Plaza. But in order to get to my car at the back of the plaza, I had to walk through Burgers. And when I walked through Burgers, I was walking through the, well, it was probably not misses at that point, but
juniors.
Yes, the juniors department. So between all the money I spent in Albrecht's buying books, stationery, and pens, which are three of my favorite things, then I would put money down on dresses going to the car. I hardly made anything on that job. It was a good thing I was living with my parents. But Burgers was an upper class.
Yes, and their big flagship store downtown. And
yes. And then they also had a store in Niagara Falls.
Yep. They had one in the Seneca Mall
in
West Seneca. That's where I shopped.
So it was, but it really did have beautiful stuff and really catered. There were some men things, but it really catered to women and things. And I can remember going to stores with my mother and being totally embarrassed because she would come in and say, "Isn't there anybody working on this department?" And I just wanted to hide underneath the clothes because I thought that was... And I tell her, "Now, please don't say that, ma'am." But she did anyway.
Yeah.
There was Carnahan and Swanson. Norm, was that boys or women's or...
I remember Carnahan and Swanson as being men's,
okay,
but it could have had a women's department. I remember when I used to go with my mother, we'd walk down to the stores in Lockport, and that's one that is fuzzy with my memory. So give us a call, 433-1433. Carnahan and Swanson, did it have men's and women's clothing?
Okay, there was Casual Corner. I know that was women. Drury's Fashions? D-R-U-R-Y, Drury's Fashions. Do you remember that one, Norm?
I want to guess in the upper part of Main Street, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, it was 9 Main Street, so that's right.
A small store in between a couple of bigger buildings, bigger stores.
Okay.
Because at one time, you know, Main Street was just one big block of stores and buildings, so... Yes.
Yeah. Flora Hatch. Now, I remember Flora Hatch when I first moved here. It had beautiful clothing.
They had a store on Delaware, too, and maybe one in the Falls. I think
they
had a couple of different ones. Yeah.
Okay. But that, you know, at the time I was having my kids and I didn't have money.
When I worked at the Theodore Roosevelt site, a lot of the women would talk about Flora Hatch. So I think there was one in Buffalo. So.
But I know that had beautiful clothing, and then her daughter took it over and had Jane and Company later on, probably, I don't know, 80s or 90s. And that had really pretty clothes. And then I was buying things. Okay, Kennedy Brothers.
Yes, Kennedy Brothers was in Lockport, Lower Main Street, on the south side.
That was a men's store, wasn't
it? And it was
a
men's store, yes.
Okay.
Very nice clothing in Kennedy Brothers.
Okay, Lurch and Daly. They eventually had women's clothing because they had Pendleton clothes. And I remember I bought a really expensive women's Pendleton suit. You know, Pendleton had the wool clothing and was very classic. Mm-hmm. And I wore that suit because I spent a lot of money on it until I couldn't fit in it anymore. And probably people were, you know, my husband used to always say, I always liked you in that suit.
And Lurch and Daly's, one of the last stores to be sold and close up in Lockport on Main Street. And for a long time, one of my peers that graduated with me, and I can't remember his last name, but Charlie was his first name.
Gray.
Yeah, he started out as a salesperson in Lurch and Daly, ended up owning it and kept it alive till, I want to say, well, time flies by so fast, 10, 12 years ago maybe?
Yeah.
In that area, maybe 15. In the last original store.
Early 2000s, yeah.
But it was Charlie Gray.
Yeah.
That ended up being the owner. But that was a beautiful store, too. Mm-hmm. I can remember, you know, I got a lot of stuff for my kids. And
when my husband inherited some money, he went and bought a whole new wardrobe there. I remember that. So
I can remember going to events, you know, and every man that was at the event had a sport coat on from Lurch and Daly.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the place to shop.
Another call coming in. Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. You are on.
Yeah, it's me again. Okay. I got a story about Lurch and Daly's.
Okay.
I used to shop there all the time, and I'd go in and I'd pick out three or four pairs of pants and three or four shirts and walk over to the counter and put them on the counter, and Bev and Roxanne would walk over and look at my clothes and put them under the counter and say no. And they'd take me around and they'd pick out different pants and shirts and say, no, you're wearing this.
I remember Roxanne.
They were very helpful.
Well, that's good. That's a good memory. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Then there was Morrison's Women's Wear. Now, I've heard of that. I don't remember it, though.
Yeah.
You remember Morrison's?
No, I don't. What is it?
Morrison's.
It
was at 100 Main Street?
Yes, I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, that was on the north side also.
Yeah. There was Norman Dress Shops. I think those were
Norman.
In malls.
Norman's?
Norman.
Norman with a B.
Norman, yeah.
Weren't they in malls too?
Yeah. And plazas. So.
But Lockport did have one of those.
And the Sample. Now, the Sample, that was another one that you
had a lot of
nice clothes.
Outlets, yeah.
And they had one down on Hurdle because I used to go into that one.
I think that was the main one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I took ballet on Hurdle, and then I used to take the bus, and then sometimes we go and shop there. But, you know, that was another one. So.
Okay, well, Melissa is looking for some more lady shops. We're going to take our second break of the day. You are listening to Niagara County's Great History Show on 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.
Hometown 1340 AM and 105.3 FM is Niagara County's information station. Now, proud to partner with Fox News. Get the latest updates every hour, on the hour, from America's top news network, Fox News Radio. Always up-to-date information every hour, every day. The exclusive home for Fox News Radio in Western New York is Hometown 1340 AM and 105.3 FM. WLVL Lockport. Streaming live worldwide at WLVL.com and on your smart devices and speakers.
We are on air with Doug, Jen, and Victoria.
Now, with the story of a guy who's just plain stupid. He has a $385,000 Ferrari. The driver of this car was going 100 miles an hour, crashed it down a ravine.
50 feet into a ravine. This is like one of the scenes from a movie when a car goes off a cliff.
Apparently, he was trying to do with it what you could do with a DeLorean in Back to the Future. He thought maybe you could make it fly over the ravine.
The DJV Show, weekdays 11 to noon
on WLVL.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
The National Guard for me was a perfect fit. I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I didn't find that in the normal day-to-day life. I didn't find that working behind a desk. I realized being hands-on and being a soldier was something that would keep me active, keep me outside, keep me in that team environment that I craved and that I needed so much. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the the cake. I wanted to be in Boise, Idaho. I wanted to be home. The National Guard gave me the opportunity to stay right where I was, serve my country and my community, and it was the best of both worlds. I grew up flying bush planes in Alaska with my dad. I was fortunate enough to get my pilot's license. I wanted to be in helicopters. I wanted to be a crew chief. The Army National Guard gave me a chance to fly helicopters now instead of fixed-wing aircraft.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the New York Army National Guard. Aired by the New York State Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to Niagara County's Great History Show. In the studio with me, Melissa Dunlop, Anne-Marie Lineberry. Say that three times really quick. from the Niagara County History Center. Okay, ladies, we are rolling with ladies' shops.
Okay, so this is the 1975 directory from Niagara Falls. And it's got a lot of clothing stores. We won't read them all. But there's Bellevue Shop. And I do remember that. I think there was one of those in Kenmore.
Yeah.
Right on Delaware Avenue. There was Burgers, of course, which we discussed. Mm-hmm. But I think it was a much bigger store in Niagara Falls.
Oh, the one in Niagara. Well, the Jens and the Burgers in Niagara Falls, I've seen pictures of them. And they were
really big stores.
Yeah.
Yeah. Betty Shop. Then there's the Bit and Spur Clothing Store. I think that's interesting. I don't know if that was Western wear, maybe.
I don't know.
Well, Bit and Spur, that kind of makes you think so. But if somebody went there, they could call in.
And that call-in number is 433-1433.
There was Cameo Fashions, Country Squire. Then there was Edie Marr Fashions. I don't know these. There was Franco's specialty store was Teens to Tots and Tots to Teens. So there you go. There was a lot of med stores. There was Jen's Junior and Teen Shop besides the regular Jen's. There was the Kenmore Clothing Factory. How interesting. That was on Main Street and it was an outlet store.
Hmm.
I never heard of that, but that's interesting. The Learner Shops.
Oh,
no, there were Learner Shops
around. There was one in the Seneca Mall, yeah.
Yep. Those I remember. The Marquet Shop. Then there was Mr. D. Dungarees. So I guess jeans for everybody in that store. Let's see. Again, there was Norbin's. There was Patty May Fashions. That was on Center Street. Ray's Clothes. That was on Main. That's probably men's. Robert Hall Clothes. Now.
Yes. Yeah. There was a Robert Hall store in Lackawanna. So, yes, my brother got his first communion suit there, I think. So, yeah.
And there I remember a lot of those. Going in there.
Yep.
Because there was one on Delaware.
Yeah.
Near where I lived. So that was another one that you don't think about. And they had a jingle and TV commercials. And, you know, they were.
Apparently that had a big fire in it in Lockport because I follow some of the Facebook Niagara Falls Facebook groups, and sometimes they post pictures about Robert Hall and the fire. And
all right. So then there was Sample, and we talked about Sample, and so those stores were all
around.
There
was a chain of they were chain stores.
Yeah, when you think about, there was Heads and Kelly's, and there was M&A's, and there was Sample, and there was Burgers, and there was Jen's, and those were all family-owned stores. And then those were the stores that had the big displays at Christmas time downtown.
Yeah,
they had the big anchor stores, you know, right downtown.
Well, M&A's, and of course, I know Burgers. Yeah, they used to do their windows too at Christmas. But there were other places too. Hangers.
Yeah.
And
Hangers. That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hangers had the tea room upstairs. Yeah. But, I mean, that was a big thing at Christmas time to go down and see all those windows decorated with all the animated characters and things. And I'm sure they spent a lot of time setting those up. But, you know, we would take the bus down and do it.
They were opened on Thursday nights. Yep. I remember that. Yes, downtown.
And there were Sattlers, too.
Sattlers, yes. There was all those stores.
And
Woolworths.
Woolworths, yeah. And Kresge's?
So, yes. Yeah.
And you mentioned the Sample in Lockport, and then you mentioned Sample being in malls. Well, Sample was in the mall in Lockport.
Oh, okay.
And my boy used to get his hair cut at Sample.
Oh, all right.
And I said, no, wait a minute. You go to Sample to get your hair cut? And Sample was, in my mind, a ladies' store, you know, because they had tremendous ladies' clothes and stuff in there. He says, well, they have a shop in the back. And so he talked me in. I needed a haircut one day, and he says, I know a lady that does a great job. So I went in there and never stopped until they closed the store. Great, great. Salon, yeah. And a barbershop that they cut men's hair also in the sample.
You know, I didn't think about that, but that's true. M&A's always had a salon.
The one in the Southgate Plaza had one. Yeah.
They even had one in Lockport. They always had a hair salon in there.
Yeah.
See, that's see what we've forgotten.
Yep.
Isn't that something?
So, okay. So, town and country fashion. And then there was Sophie's Specialty Shop. I don't know if anybody remembers shopping in any of those. Tuxedo Junction. Now I know that there's tuxedos, but those were all over.
Oh, yeah.
And they
that's
had,
where you
they
went
used
to get your
big,
prom.
Yes.
The guys went to get their prom suits.
That's right.
Their tuxedos,
and for weddings and things.
Yeah.
Big commercials on TV for Tuxedo Junction.
Yeah. I mean, that was something. Wakes Incorporated. I don't know if that was men or women. Then there was the Wesley Shop and the York Shop. I don't know if that's like the New York's. There was a New York one, but the York Shop. Boy, I was hoping somebody from Niagara Falls would call in and say, yes, I shop there. But it's interesting. The malls really, you know, took a lot of those individual stores away. But
yeah, well, probably a lot of those weren't on, they were on Main Street.
Yeah, they were Main
because
and Center.
Falls Street apparently also had a lot of shops. But by 75, Falls Street was already gone. But they're, because again, that's another Facebook, Old Falls Street, and people post pictures of all the stores on that as well. So.
And when I travel up to Niagara Falls, if I'm not mistaken, Pine Avenue used to have quite
also.
A few stores and shops and bars, and had a bowling alley, I remember, that we used to go bowl in Niagara Falls, and we had a bowl there, teams up there in the falls, and I recall a lot of restaurants up Pine Avenue.
Yeah,
that was a very busy street, too. You know, a lot of things going on. Little Italy.
Yeah, that's right.
433-1433, if you'd like to join us. And time is running out. We have just a little over 5 minutes left. So if you remember any of the shops, stores, swimming holes that we talked about early, give us a call quickly so we'd like to learn and put it in the history center.
I just have we had someone come in yesterday and donated some photographs of some fires in Lockport. One of them was a fire at Kresge's, but it didn't have a date on it. So I don't know if anybody knows what year there was a big fire at Kresge's in Lockport. The other one was another fire. It was in one of the older buildings. It was Bob's Shoe Rebuilding Shop, and that was 1949. But I don't know. It was on Main Street, but I don't know. I'd have to look in the directory to see where that was. But the Kresge fire, that would have been, you know, that was a major shop.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. But I don't know what year that was. I'd have to find out. But if you remember it, you could let us know.
Okay. So in 1980 in Lockport, there was Brooks Fashions. I'm trying to remember if that was both. Was that? Do you remember that?
I remember Brooks, but I don't remember much about it.
Brooks
we were raising
Brothers,
kids
but
at that time.
That's probably not the same.
There was the Carter's Factory Outlet. Okay. Yeah. I hung out there.
Yeah.
That's when my kids were little and I bought a lot of little kids' clothes. There was Corday's Fashions in Lockview Plaza. There was Drury's Fashions in the Niagara Frontier Mall. There was Foxmoor on Transit Road. Still Flora Hatch on East Avenue. Of course, Lurch & Daily because they were open for 100 years. Lockport Surplus Center. That was on Market Street. I remember that because it had a lot of camouflage stuff and it had...
It was sort of like an Army Navy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the kids loved it when they were older because it had compasses and jackknives and all sorts of stuff that they thought was super neat. There's Mr. Pell's Britches in the Niagara Frontier Mall. P-E-L-Z. Okay. Not sure.
Don't remember that one.
I don't either. Morrison's.
Yes.
We remember that. That was on Transit, South Transit. Norbin's Dress Shop, that was on Locust Street.
Have a call coming in, Melissa, if you'd like to take it.
Sure, we would love to.
Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. Go ahead. You are on.
Yeah, good morning. I'm listening to the radio about Bockford and that, and I'm going to be 91. But I remember when Grant's in Lockport had a fire.
Oh, Grant's had one, too.
I don't know about Kresge's.
Well,
I must have been about 7 or 8. I remember getting a coloring book the week before the fire was. I was so happy that I had gotten my coloring book.
Well, when you're a kid, that's
important. Interesting.
Thank you very
All right,
much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call.
I will have to look that up.
Okay.
There was Pantastic Incorporated. That was on South Transit. There still was Norman's. There still was Sample. Stewart's. Now I remember Stewart's.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that was another store. There was TJ Fashion on Locust Street. There was T-Shirts Plus on South Transit. The Haberdashery on Main Street, which, of course, would have been hats, because the Haberdashery is hats. You don't see too many hats anymore, either.
Not too many.
That's another thing that's gone. Town and Country Fashions, that was on Locust Street. I do remember that. And Uniformity at the Lockview Plaza, so that probably was
uniforms.
Nurses' uniforms,
yeah.
And things like that. But really, that was it for women's clothing and stuff in 1980. So there were a lot of other stores. It doesn't name, like, Montgomery Ward's. That was an anchor store at the
mall. Did Lockport have an AM&A's before the mall?
Yes. Bonton. AM&A's became Bonton.
Well, I know that, but...
Oh, before the mall.
I'm sorry, before the mall. I mean, was there a location
in... Yes, and I think it was AM&A's, I'm thinking, was down Market Street or in that area.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay. We have about a minute and a half left if you'd like to recap what's happening at the History Center.
Okay, well, we have a really good new exhibit at Belleville Lockwood, and it's at the 215 Niagara Street location. It's open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. The phone number there is 716-434-7433. If you want to call us afterwards and talk about Bill Ponds, if you don't feel comfortable talking on the radio, please give us a call at 434-7433. We'd love to find out your information. And we do have a new YouTube channel. And to get to it, I always have to look it up. You would think I would memorize this.
Well, while Melissa's looking that up, I will let you know that you have been listening to Niagara County's Great History Show on 1340 AM, 105.3 FM. Okay, Melissa, 30 seconds.
So the YouTube channel is the History Center Lockport. And when it comes up, you just click on it and hit subscribe. And there are programs on women's history. There are some programs from collection. And I know we have started to do live Facebook programs. I have not been involved with that, but the curator and our media person has. So there you go. Thank you.